isn't it fun to sing those Christmas carols, though? It is really enjoyable. There was a commercial on TV some time ago where a man daydreamed of being buddies with some star athlete. I tried to look it up on YouTube. I remember it hasn't been aired in a while, but I couldn't find it on YouTube. I don't know who the athlete was. It might have been somebody like Peyton Manning. But the commercial was this. You know, the guy was just envisioning himself with this star athlete. They were, you know, going to a ball game, wolfing down hot dogs together, you know, and playing practical jokes on one another. You know, all the things that friends do together. Well, there's a lot of, you know, in some of these commercials, you don't remember what the commercials even advertise. You just remember the commercials. But, you know, there are a lot of people that will go way out of their way to be friends with the rich and famous, powerful personalities. You know, there are a lot of stars today that have their fan clubs, right? I just recently saw how when Britney Spears now went to court and she's debating with her father to gain rights over her finances, she had a huge following, you know, that was there outside supporting her in her endeavor, her fan club. You know, isn't it amazing, though, what people will do to get close to somebody who is a star in the society? To them, getting it close is a very valuable thing. Last week, when we looked at the Apostle Paul, he was giving his testimony. What had happened, there were some false teachers that came into that church of Philippi. They followed the Apostle Paul, and they were believers in Jesus Christ, or they maintained, they said they were believers in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But what they would tell these new believers is that, listen, now that you've come to Christ, now you have to be circumcised. In that world, that's for males. In that world, that wasn't a real prominent thing in the Gentile world. It was with the Jews, of course, as we've reviewed. But now you must keep the law of Moses. But the Apostle Paul was livid. He would not put up with that at all. And he really wrote back to these Philippians and told them, now he's given his testimony. These men claim to be Jews, but I am all the more a Jew. If they've lived by the law, I've lived more by the law. But the Apostle Paul found out that he was so zealous for things of the Lord, so zealous. You know, these Judaizers, as we said, they went to proselyte people, but the Apostle Paul was so zealous that during the time of Stephen, when Stephen was preaching about the Lord, he held the coats of all those people who went and stoned Stephen to death. He approved of Stephen's stoning. He was rising in as a Pharisee in the Jewish religion. He held the coats, and then after that, the early church started becoming more and more persecuted, and the Apostle Paul, his name wasn't Paul at that time, it was Saul of Tarsus. But he led the movement against these Christians who he felt were false Jews, and he had letters that he had gotten from the high priest to go to a little bit distant city, to Damascus, where there is a good number of Christians already there, and he had authority to bind them all, to capture them, so to speak, and have them put in jail. He was breathing out murders and slaughters against the Christians at this time. But the Apostle Paul found on the way to Damascus what happened. There was a huge light from heaven, and he fell to the ground, and there was a voice that was speaking to him. He made out the voice and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And I mean, he's frightened. This is a great manifestation in the sky. And it was blinding light. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." It's very hard for you to kick against the goads. What were the goads? That when people would prod animals along, to plow in a field, they'd use a sharp stick and hit them in the back of their legs to keep them going forward. It's hard for you to go against the goads, these sharp sticks. And then Saul said, "What do you want me to do, Lord?" So you're going to go in the city of Damascus, and there's a man called by the name of Ananias, and he'll tell you what you're supposed to do. He was blinded. They had to leave him into Damascus to the city, the street called Straight. It's still there, the city called Straight. And an Ananias came to him and told him what he must do. He must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized in his name. And from that time on, there was a time in his life before Christ when he was a persecutor of Christians, but his life was totally turned upside down. He learned he was going in the wrong direction and that Jesus and these followers of Jesus were the real thing. And now he became a follower of Jesus. The one who was persecuting the church more than anybody else now became a follower of Jesus. The Lord told Ananias, he's a chosen vessel of mine. I'm going to show him how much things he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake. Well, the Apostle Paul, in writing to these Philippians, told them, he's got personal testimony, what was in his heart at this time even. He said, these Judaizers who are giving you this message, they don't even compare to my zealousness of Judaism in keeping the Mosaic law. But now, we heard part of his testimony last week, but basically he was saying, all that I did, we put out like a ledger, like a debit and credit sheet. Now, we usually do that for finances, but the Apostle Paul, we said with the gains and the losses here, they were mentioned, gains and losses, gains and losses. He said, everything that I gained in Judaism, when I came to Christ, I realized that it was all nothing but debit. It was all a loss. God didn't approve of it one bit. Now, here's the message, the grand message that the entire world needs to hear. Listen, good works our good works to try to please God, to prepare a place for our heavens, are absolutely condemned. No matter if we gave both of our kidneys, if we gave all of our money to philanthropic causes, God is not impressed. They cannot atone for the sin that is in our heart. That's all outward. And the Apostle Paul is saying it was all outward. We need a heart change. We call it being born again. We need to be born again by the Spirit of God. How does it happen? When you, like the Apostle Paul, realize that Jesus is the Lord. He came to pay for your sins on the cross. He was resurrected, showing that the sins were paid for, and he raised to give new life to as many who would believe on him. That's the only way anybody ever gets to heaven. It's not Jesus Christ plus anything you do. You can only serve one master. Either you're on the throne of your life and you're calling the shots in your life, or Jesus is on the throne and he's calling the shots in your life. For when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, he gives us the Holy Spirit, okay? And that makes all the difference in the world, okay? We gain not our righteousness, which according to the good deeds we do, but we gain the righteousness of Jesus. That is the ultimate. That's the perfect righteousness. That's the righteousness which God will accept. Well, you know, I just bring this all out. Now, we're going to continue with his message this morning. Let's go and start in verse 7 now, Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Now, look, you can look at these words gain and loss too in the counting. It's kind of like a financial accounting, but he's talking about spiritual profit. Starting in verse 7, but he says, he's bearing his heart now to these Philippian believers. He says, but what things were gained to me and all that was in my Jewish religion, he said, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as garbage, rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, he's going on with his testimony and what we want to see this morning. And boy, if you can listen and pay attention, because if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, this is so important for you to understand, okay? The Apostle Paul is saying, right now, It's not important what I do. What's important to me is that I might know Jesus Christ. I might gain Christ. Now, he was introduced to Christ on the road to Damascus. But what he is saying is that was just the beginning. I want to know him more and more in my life. I want to gain everything he can give to me. I want to gain Christ. That's what he's saying. And here's the thing. You know how a lot of people will do anything to get to know somebody famous in this environment? Now, if you and I are wise, this is it. We'll listen to the Apostle Paul. The life pursuit of getting to know Jesus Christ is the most important thing we can do in our lives. Getting to know Jesus Christ, that I might know him. And there are three things in particular, but we're going to look at his focus on, we're going to say 5 points here, just in his words that he says today. He focuses on 5 things, okay? And let's look at it now here. The first thing he says is that I may know him. That's his goal. Now, know is just not know about Jesus Christ. That's not the idea here. It's to know him personally. To know him personally. You know, I have to laugh because I read somewhere where, do you remember way back when there was a pitcher? He was a Christian pitcher. His name was Oral Hershiser. He was a pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers, okay? And they won the World Series, I think it was 1980. It was a while ago, but they won the 7th game. I think Oral Hershiser threw a shutout that last 7th game of the World Series. But he had a wife by the name of Jamie. And you know how it is with athletes. They're signing autographs all the time. A lot of people want to get to know these athletes, right? But one day, him and Jamie had the opportunity of, because he was from Los Angeles, of meeting Frank Sinatra. And so they got a picture of Frank Sinatra, and they wanted Frank Sinatra to sign their picture, Oral Hershiser and his wife Jamie. And so Frank Sinatra signs it, says, "To my good friends, Aura and Jane." You know, that's a good friend if you've got a good friend who doesn't even know your name, right? But this is the thing, you know, we can draw close to Jesus Christ and he will draw close to us. You know, Mercy Me sang a song. It was played on all the secular radio stations, I Can Only Imagine. Do you remember that song? The idea of I Can Only Imagine was when I meet face to face, when I stand before Jesus, what is it going to be like? And there's all kinds of people, not only in church, this is not just Christian music, it was on secular radio stations all over the place. But these were some of the words where Bart Miller sang. He said, "Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine." Now, there's another imagination, though, I want you to consider this morning, is when we're face-to-face with Jesus, I can only imagine, he's imagining what his reaction is going to be. What is Jesus' reaction going to be to us? That's another thing. Now, when Jesus sees us, those who have put our trust in him, this is talking about Christians now, is he going to hang his head in shame for the way that we lived our lives? Is he? Is he going to be completely silent because he'd want to commend in us something that we've done? Will he be completely silent? I can only imagine what it's going to be like as to what our relationship is like to Jesus. So I want to talk about the Apostle Paul. His goal is to know Jesus Christ, have that relationship with Jesus Christ in such a way that when he meets Jesus Christ, he's going to be so close to Jesus Christ. I believe, and I'll say this again in the message, I believe Paul's goal in this world was to be closer to Jesus Christ than anybody else ever was. That was his goal. Now, this is the thing. That's what I want to trigger all of our minds this morning. What is your goal in life? is your goal to know Jesus. Not just the first thing he said, his goal was to know Jesus Christ. That's the thing that he valued the most. Forget, put all the other stuff aside. I want in the credit column, I know Jesus Christ, not only for salvation, but beyond, to know him well, experientially, personally, to know how he thinks, to know what his desires are, to walk with him every single day. That was his goal. You know, I imagine the Apostle Paul now, when he wanted to know Jesus Christ personally, that he probably started his day like in this fashion. He probably said, Lord, I'm trusting in you today. I want you to live your life through me. Lord, I want to go where you want me to go. I don't want to make up my own plans. I want you to live your life through me. I want to think like you think. Can you imagine him praying a prayer like that in the morning? What a tremendous thing that it must have been for the Apostle Paul. You know how it is with us. This is the way it usually was with us, is that we plan our day, and we say, Lord, bless us now as we go on our way. Do we submit ourselves, say, Lord, what do you want me to do today, right? Well, all of us have played jobs that we got to go at. We know that those things are kind of carved in stone. But are we submitting? You know, there was one of my favorite Bible teachers, really. He was a medical doctor. His name was Dr. Walter Lewis Wilson. I've got three about Dr. Walter Lewis's little books. They're valuable to me. But Dr. Walter Lewis Wilson, the doctor, would start every morning and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, fill me completely now. I want you to go in my hands. I want you to think in my mind, use my mind, take control of my mind, take control of my mouth. And it was absolutely amazing what Dr. Wilson encompassed and covered in a day. Well, I've given the illustration. I'll maybe just relate just one example. I've often done this many times. He was in New York City for a conference of some sort. He prayed that prayer, got probably on his knees, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Control every bit of me. And he went walking down the street, and he passed a bookstore. And he looked in the bookstore and he saw, you know, there were these little binders and things like that. And he said, you know, I need a new prayer notebook, a prayer notebook. So he went in the store and he told the guy, he said, yeah, can I help you? He said, yeah, I'm looking for a notebook that I can use, a prayer notebook. And the guy goes, oh, no. He said, I'm interested in that one in those windows. He said, oh, no. He says, you don't understand. This is not a book of prayers. It's just empty. And Dr. Walter Wilson says, no, that's what I want. You see, I put on these sheets, I ask God something, and then I put down when he answers. I ask, he answers in this prayer notebook. And this man was a German descent. He came around the counter, and he grabbed him. He says, you can get to God? You can get to God? You know, I pray all the time, and I don't get answers to prayer. And Dr. Wilson told him how he gets answered to prayer. First of all, is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting how God can lead and guide you to people that he wants you to speak to if you let him be in charge of your life? I think we would see more miracles happen, I mean, unaccountable things, if we would let the Lord be in charge. So that's what Apostle Paul's first focus was. I want to know him. I want to know him personally. That was the most valuable thing that he was seeking. Well, the next thing he says here, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Now, this is kind of interesting order. He says, I want to know him, the power of his resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings, and I'm going to be conformable to his death. You'd say, you'd think it'd be the opposite, wouldn't you? You'd have sufferings, death, and then resurrection. That's the order event. But we have to understand that in order, the start of the Christian life is to experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. That's the start. We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, that resurrection power that changes us in the inside. If any of us have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have experienced the power of his resurrection. What kind of power is that? Well, all of a sudden, you get these new desires. New desires. And you get this new power, you know, abilities to overcome habits that you can't overcome. Many people have experienced that, and you have a new love in your heart. Listen, when you sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," you mean it. You've got a new love in your heart. That's everybody who trusts in Jesus experiences the power of his resurrection. But the Apostle Paul says, I don't want to stop at the beginning. I want to know it more and more, the power of his resurrection. You know, the Apostle Paul, I know he did the signs of an apostle. He was an apostle. He was called to be an apostle, and apostles did certain signs. But let me tell you, his life was amazing. It says in the book of Acts that they would bring handkerchiefs from his body and bring them to people who were sick, and the people would be healed. Do you remember the time when he preached so long, and it was probably a warm night there in the Middle East, and there was this young man sitting in the window, Eutychus? And Apostle Paul went long, and the young man fell out of the window. It was up, what, 3 stories or something? And he landed on the ground, and they went down, and he was dead. And the Apostle Paul put his body over this young man, and this young man came to life. I mean, that's power, people. That is power. That's the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ told us about that. Now, why in you? Now, first of all, we're not apostles, and we don't do the signs of the apostles. But let us say this. The reason why we don't experience more of the power, the resurrection power of Jesus, is because, first of all, we don't really have the same goal that the Apostle Paul had in mind. His goal was to know Jesus Christ, and his goal was to know this resurrection power. We don't have that type of goal. And another thing that we differ from the Apostle Paul is that we don't have the faith. You know, the Apostle Paul, this was so important to him, and he also wrote to others about the need to know the power of Jesus' resurrection. Listen to what he wrote to the Ephesians, first of all. He said, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in all my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places." There's a man in heaven. His name is Jesus. And that power that put him in that place was the resurrection power, the power of God. And he says that Paul writing to the Ephesians, that you might know this power. What a wonderful thing. You know, do we have that goal? Is that something that's in our mind? That was in the Apostle Paul's. He wanted to know the resurrection power. And you know, you and I also, we don't have the faith. Our faith is weak, it's puny. James said this, "You have not because you ask not." You know, God wants to answer our prayers. If we ask anything according to his will, the Bible says he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know we have the petitions that we ask of him. But then James went on to continue, "You have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss." You miss the target. Why is that? "That you might consume it on your own lusts." You see, we ask for selfish things, James says. But if we ask for the right things, we ask in faith, God would see to it that we would receive these, okay? Well, that's, okay, so number one is he wanted to know Christ personally, experientially. The second focus, I want to know his resurrection power, the power of his resurrection. And then the third thing that he was shooting at in his life, and he says, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Now that's where you and I probably depart right there. How many of us want to experience the sufferings of Jesus Christ? Wow. Wow. Do you know this? I think we could pray for that, but how many of us want to pray for that? I mean, when I see the thunder and the lightning and I see the power of God, and you look in the Bible and you see what men suffered, like Job, when God allowed Satan to mess with Job's life, do we want that? Do we really want that? The Apostle Paul wanted it. Can you imagine that? You know, you find that when people go through adversity together, it draws them together. When you go through adversity with somebody. When I was thinking about this, I thought back of the times when I was going through high school and I was playing basketball. And I thought that, you know what, those guys that I was playing basketball with, I was really close to. Why? Because we went through a lot of adversity together. We did, you know. But you know what, and you see that today too. I just saw the University of Michigan. They're in the Final Four now, the University of Michigan. And I've heard them talk how they love one another. This team loves one another, and they love their coach, Jim Harbaugh. But recently, this team heard about what happened over in Oxford High School over there, where the 15-year-old came and shot and killed four of his students, fellow students, and injured, I don't know, six or seven others. And the University of Michigan football players heard that their number one athlete in the school, Tate Mear, and when everybody, this guy, kid started shooting, everybody went away and ran. Tate Mear went toward the shooter, this athlete, trying to stop him. And in the process, he was killed. And he had already had Division I schools. He was a tremendous football player. And when the University of Michigan heard about that, they had sewn on their jerseys for this Big Ten championship, the big championship that was in Indianapolis, a big O for Oxford, in the middle of it, 42. The number of Tate Mears in his football uniform. And they also did it to honor the others who died, but his parents and brother were there at the game, and they were honorary kind of coaches of that game. But the amazing thing, after the game, Michigan won the game by 42-3. And Jim Harbaugh said, that's the craziest thing. He says, but we wanted to honor this young man whose number was 42, and it was, I don't know why, but we scored 42 points that game. You know what? God can do amazing things to those who have that fellowship, the camaraderie, knows what it's like to go through affliction together, the football team. And how about this? Even more so, even I thought about athletics. You talk about those who have been in war together. I looked up the Band of Brothers, a group of, Steven Spielberg had a mini-series, I think, called The Band of Brothers. I never saw it, but I did see Saving Private Ryan. But you see these military men who are bound together because they go through adversity together, and they've seen their buddies killed in battle, and it bonds them together like nobody else. And that's what the Apostle Paul says, I want to be bound together to Jesus Christ, and the only way I can be bound together with Jesus Christ is by experience what he experienced. Now, what are the sufferings of Jesus Christ? What is he talking about? To know the fellowship of his sufferings. Well, first of all, it's the sufferings that come to somebody for an all-out allegiance to Jesus. Not being ashamed of him, just being identified with him. Sufferings will come to people that way when they take a stand for Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of me or the testimony of Jesus Christ, Apostle Paul told Timothy. Don't be ashamed of it. When we take a stand for Jesus Christ, sufferings will come. We'll be misunderstood. You know the early Christians, what the early Christians had to suffer because of misunderstanding? They didn't understand them. All those people from Rome and the gods that they served, they called them atheists. Why? Because they didn't serve all their gods in the pantheons. And then they called them cannibalists. Why? Because during their fellowship, we're going to have the communion. They got together for the communion, and they observed the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They ate of it. They drank of it. And so they labeled them as cannibals. And then also, they thought they were inappropriate or sexually inappropriate. I don't know what the term is, the better term to use. But they had their love feast, as they called them. They loved one another, but it was anything but sexual. But they charged them with that. They were misunderstood in the Roman Empire. You can be misunderstood as well. If you take a stand for Jesus Christ, you can be the objects of the world's ridicule and persecution in your stand for Jesus Christ and His Word. You know, one of the books I read many years ago was a book by Franklin Graham, the head of Good Samaritan, the one who started Good Samaritan's Purse. But he wrote the book called The Name. And Franklin Graham said that whenever he had opportunity to pray, he always prayed in the name. What's the name? The name of Jesus. I don't care how many Catholics are there, or how many Jewish people or Islamic people, he always prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. So they didn't invite him to pray before Congress, even though he was well known everywhere, because he always prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. And recently, did you hear that there was this big upheaval of people who were trying to get Franklin Graham to be removed from being president of Good Samaritan's Purse? I mean, Samaritan's Purse, you cannot deny the good works that they do. Recently, again, we had tornadoes right down south, and Samaritan's Purse comes down there and helps them out, brings them blankets, brings them water, has a plane that they bring all this stuff. Samaritan's Purse goes all over the world helping people in need. We just collected now for Operation Christmas Child, bringing these Christmas gifts to all the poor kids in the world. You can't deny the goodness of Samaritan's Purse, but they wanted him out from being the CEO. Why? Because he took a stand on a traditional family, and he took a stand that's saying there's a male and a female, there's not a halfway position, a transgender. He takes a stand on what the Bible says, see? And that's hated by the world. So he's knowing what persecution is like. But another thing is, could we also, the sufferings of Christ, share the burden that he had for lost people? You remember he came to Jerusalem? He wept over the city of Jerusalem. How often I would gather you under my protection like a hen gathers her chick, but you would not. When he saw the multitudes, they were like sheep without a shepherd. It burdened him. That's the burden. And the Apostle Paul wanted to know that as well in his life. And then another thing about Jesus' sufferings, he did all that was necessary to do in order to be the servant of all. This is what he said, the Son of Man did not come, that was his favorite term, by the way, for himself, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That's what Jesus came for. That's what drove him. And Apostle Paul wanted to, that as well in his life. He wanted to bear the burden that Jesus Christ had in his humility and his sufferings. You know, you and I don't like to do things like polish somebody else's shoes. We don't like to wash their car for nothing, right? We don't want to fix a flat tire of theirs or help them in some of their menial tasks. We would rather be a manager or something like that. But Jesus Christ came to serve, and the Apostle Paul wanted to know that as well. Well, that's his fellowship of sufferings, but then he says, being conformed to his death, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and being conformed to his death. Just like it said, Jesus Christ came to die. When we have now this Christmas time, we call it a cradle in the shadow of a cross. Jesus Christ was born specifically to die. The Apostle Paul wanted to know, to be conformed. It comes from the word to be molded in and with. He wanted to be molded in the same way that Jesus Christ was in regard to the death that he died. Well, you know, let me just read a passage from Romans. This is one way we can be conformed this way. He said, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, there's baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then there's baptism in water, typifying that. We're baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. By faith, we gain power when we recognize that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, this is what happened. When we trusted in Jesus Christ, we were placed by God into Jesus Christ. So actually, what happened was, in God's eyes, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, we died with him. I didn't feel that. I don't experience that. But we reckon that to be the case because that's what the Bible says. We were placed in Jesus Christ. So the death that he died, we died with him. And when he rose from the dead, we rose with him. The Bible says even when he's sitting on the right hand of God, we are seated in heaven with him. We don't experience it. We just take it by faith. That's what it is to live by faith in light of these truths that are said to be true in the Bible. But amazing things happen when we live our lives by faith. It gives us power to live the Christian life. Amen. So we say, you know, that sin that is tantalizing, tempting us. We say, I died with Jesus on the cross. I don't have to live for that. I can live in a newness of life. Well, I think that was true of the Apostle Paul, but one other thing about him, his life was hidden with Jesus Christ. In fact, he said this in Galatians 2:20, favorite verse of mine. He said, "For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Isn't that good? He realized the love that God had for him, and now he just loves Jesus Christ in return. And that life of Jesus Christ, he wants that to be lived out of him. But also, not only we live by faith in what Jesus Christ did for us, and we're in Christ, conformable to death that way. But I think also we must embrace the way he died. Now, how did Jesus Christ die? Embrace the way that he died. He died by one of the worst deaths in the world that was ever devised by man, the death of crucifixion. You man, and the Apostle Paul says, I want to be conformable to his death. You remember when Jesus was in the upper room and he's telling the disciples, I'm going to go away, and where I'm going, you cannot come. Peter says, Lord, why cannot I come right now? He said, I am willing to even go to death for you. Remember when Peter said that? And Jesus said, you don't know what you're saying, Peter. This very night, you're going to deny three times that you know me. But Peter had the desire to die with Jesus Christ. That's how much he loved Jesus Christ. Peter did. And you know what? When Jesus restored Peter, remember on the Sea of Galilee, John chapter 21, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. And he said it three times. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. And he said it for the third time, and Peter was grieved because he said it for the third time. Why was that? Because he denied him three times, right? And then he revealed to Peter what his future was. He said, Peter, when you're young now, you're going wherever you want to go. But when you're old, somebody's going to bind you. They're going to spread out your hands, and they're going to take you where you don't want to go. And it says that Jesus was signifying by what death Peter was going to die. You see, Peter was going to have the privilege of dying just like Jesus Christ. He did. He was crucified. But when it came to that point, remember when he was, you know, the trial was going on, Jesus denied in front of women three times. I don't know him. I don't know him. Blankety, blankety, blank. I don't know him. Three girls. But when the Holy Spirit filled him, when he grew and he knew more about Jesus Christ, he gained more of Christ's characteristics in his life. Christ lived this life out of him. Peter went to his death, but before he was crucified, he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified right side up. Turn me over, crucify me upside down. How's that? How's that for being crucified, conforming to the death of Jesus Christ? Now, not everybody is called on to die in the same way by this horrible death of crucifixion. But do you remember even how James and John, they wanted to have the right side of Jesus in the kingdom. They wanted on the left side, you know, let us sit by you, one on each side. Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? Can you be crucified, you men? They didn't know what they were asking. But the one whose life is conformable to Jesus Christ, Jesus allowed Peter to be crucified. But that's not his case for everybody. But this is what he says to all of his followers. Let him who wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know, you and I, every day that we live, we have the opportunity to take up our cross for Jesus Christ. What is that taking up our cross? It's not necessarily dying by crucifixion, but it's the same thing. You see, Jesus Christ went to the cross. Why? To save men from their sins. If you and I so live to save men from their sins, I mean, to bear testimony to the gospel, if we live this way daily, daily, we're being conformed to the death of Jesus Christ. My grandmother, I can still hear my grandmother singing, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. And then there's one of the verses, the consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free and then go home my crown to wear, for there's a crown for me. If we suffer with him, we'll also reign with him. That's the thing. And so, if we live our lives to have other men come to know Jesus Christ, just like so their sins are paid for, we give the gospel, we have that privilege. That's how we give our lives as a living sacrifice. Well, so his focus, to know Christ personally, to know the power of his resurrection, to know the fellowship of his suffering, to be conformable to his death. And the last thing he says here, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, I wanted to cover that this morning because what it sounds like it's saying, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection, it sounds like he's saying, I'm going to live this way so Jesus Christ will raise me from the dead. That's what it sounds like. That is not what he's saying. I want you to understand this. Throughout Scripture, he makes it known that everybody who puts their trust in Jesus Christ, they have eternal life right then. They're going to be raised from the dead. It doesn't depend upon your performance whether you're going to be raised from the dead. He's not saying that. What he is saying, and there's one word that's used here, is an out resurrection. It's arriving, but what he wants is he wants to be rewarded at the resurrection. Here's what a Bible teacher had said about this. His name was Ralph Herring. He said this, grammatically, the construction permits the idea of a difference in rank or order to which he aspires in the day of resurrection. It is not illogical that in the day of giving rewards, some should take precedence over others, like honor students in commencement exercises. He wanted that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Apostle Paul wanted that. But what he wanted more than anything else is he wanted to know Jesus Christ. He wanted to gain Jesus Christ. And I believe, based upon what he said of others, he wanted to know Jesus Christ better than anybody else. He wanted to gain Christ, his attributes. He wanted to be closer to Jesus Christ in that resurrection than anybody else. Now that is one goal. Do you remember how he said, we all run a race to win the prize and run in such a way that I might win. He wanted to win the marathon. I'm just telling all of us this, is that are you willing to get in the race and run this race? To get to know him. Because that is the most valuable thing that you could ever do in your life, is to get to know Jesus Christ, to experience with him the power of his resurrection, to experience the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, I'm afraid, you know, we can pray a prayer like that, you know, in the book of Revelations, when John was writing to the churches, the Lord gave him the message, to the church of Laodicea. I think the church of Laodicea is the church in our day and age, the lukewarm church. In Laodicea, you know, the things that were great in Laodicea were eye salve, and they had gold there. So they were rich people. And if nothing else, I think the United States represents this church of Laodicea. We've got everything. We got money. We got all these things. But the Lord says, you make me sick to my stomach. I would spew you out of my mouth. Why? Because they were just lukewarm. There was no zeal for the Lord. He said, I counsel you to buy gold tried by fire. What is that? Listen, sufferings. If we say, Lord, I want to become more like Jesus, whatever it takes, let me become more like Jesus Christ. He could allow us to suffer. You say, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to suffer either. I got to be real honest with you. God is so powerful. I don't want to suffer. But listen, if it means us drawing closer to Jesus Christ, is it worth it? You know, I told you about some people in the beginning, what they would do to get to know somebody, a famous personality nowadays, right? Whether an athlete, whether a person in Hollywood, whether a president or whatever, a lot of people will go to great lengths to get to know famous, powerful people. But is it our goal to get to know Jesus Christ in a very intimate way? You know, Jesus told two parables. He told about the treasure in the field. A man found this treasure buried in the field, and what did he do? He went and sold everything that he had so he could purchase that field because of the treasure they knew in that field. Apostle Paul says, I'm suffering the loss of all things that I might know him. Told another parable about the person. He found a pearl of great price, and he sold everything that he could have so he could purchase the pearl of great price. Are we willing? I believe God's no respecter of persons. If we are willing, we can get to know Jesus Christ. It'll cost us, though. It'll cost us. But like somebody said, for the life well lived, the apostle would tell you, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Amen? That's when it'll be worth it all. Let's look to the Lord in closing prayers. And people, singers can come on forward. Our Heavenly Father, we realize, Lord, even as we gave this message, we're talking about high standards. That's not to be saved, Lord. We come as beggars, as we say, I'm a sinner, but I thank you that you died for me on the cross. And we get introduced to Jesus Christ. But that's only the beginning, Lord. I believe your goal is that we should know Jesus Christ more and more. We should gain more of his attributes, more of his likeness, that we make better impact in this world. Father, you give us the opportunity to make a decision to be dedicated, even as the Apostle Paul was dedicated to these things. He wanted to win the prize. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us. Help us not to be selfish. Help us to pray to the end that we may be like Jesus. For his glory, amen.